O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's suppose there was someone standing in front of Tops or Giant or Save-A-Lot, handing out $100 bills to whoever passed by. Would you take one? I probably would. But there may be some people who would pass on that free $100 bill. Why? Some people might think that the bill was counterfeit, that it was phony. They wouldn't believe that somebody would actually be giving away free money, and they aren't going to look foolish taking a fake bill. Others might think that there must be some kind of string attached. Nobody does anything for nothing, we say. And we might expect that taking that $100 bill would force us into some kind of unwanted obligation. If the bill was indeed real, and there were no commitments made in taking one, would you tell your friends? Would you tell them to come over to the grocery store and get your free $100 bill? I hope you would. If it happens, call me. Now, imagine that you are a medical researcher and you discover a cure for the coronavirus. Would you keep that cure to yourself or would you tell the world? Or imagine that you're a patient with COVID-19. Would you take that cure or would you be suspicious of its effectiveness and pass on it? Or what if you had the virus and you found out that there was a cure, but the person with the cure would not share it with you? How would you feel? What might you do? Our Old Testament reading is similar to these two scenarios in that they all involve a real need, people wanting something desirable, and a solution being provided for that need. But the people needing to have faith in the solution to receive its benefit. The Israelites had sinned. God had freed them from their servitude in Egypt and was leading them to the promised land, a land said to be flowing with milk and honey, but they got grumpy on the way. They grumbled. They complained. They were not satisfied with what God had provided for them. Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? Our generation has made complaining into a fine art. We are critical of everything. We can find the dark cloud in every silver lining. I saw a website a while back, not affiliated with any particular church or religion, that was challenging people to think about how much they complain each day and then change their behavior. Consider how many times a day you say something negative or derogatory about someone or something. How often you're upset that things don't quite work out the way that you would have liked. How often are you critical of others and what they do or say? It all adds up to a lot of wasted time. Time wasted over things that mean nothing in the big scheme of things and have no real effect on your life or livelihood. We worry about things that we don't have any control over, and often those things are going to work out just fine despite all of our anxieties and criticisms. Our constant complaining and criticizing may show that we simply don't trust God enough. We don't trust God enough to provide for us in the present day or in the future, even our eternal future. Eternal life, you know, doesn't begin when you die. Eternal life began when you were baptized or converted or regenerated. You are living your eternal life right now. So why not savor the moments? Why not appreciate the goodness and the beauty all around us? Why not be grateful to God for all his blessings? God is trustworthy. He's going to make everything all right. The Israelites had every reason to trust God. As we said, he had freed them from their slavery. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night through the wilderness. He gave them manna from heaven to eat. He gave them water from a supernatural rock to drink. St. Paul tells us that that rock was Christ. God had showed them an incredible number of signs and wonders, from the plagues on Egypt to Aaron's staff budding and producing ripe almonds. Again and again, God had showed them that they were in his care and keeping, yet they doubted. They complained. They did not believe in God's continuing goodness toward them. This is what's happening in Numbers 21, our Old Testament reading today. The Israelites complain about a lack of food and water, and God allows fiery serpents, poisonous snakes, to attack the people. That's something that we've seen repeatedly in our first lessons throughout this season of Lent. Sin does have consequences, and God punishes sin. Now, that might be contrary to the image that many of us have of God as an old grandfatherly man in the sky who turns a blind eye to our sins and who never even tells us that we're wrong, let alone punish us. Or we say that wrath and judgment lives only with God in the Old Testament, and that the New Testament God is only always full of love and forgiveness. Of course, the truth is that the God of the Old Testament is one and the same as the God of the New Testament, and there is both judgment and forgiveness, both law and gospel, in both testaments. The solution God gave Moses to save the people from the poisonous snakes was to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. Whoever was bit and would look at the bronze serpent would live even though they had been bitten. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? How is looking at a serpent on a pole going to cure a poisonous snake bite? Of all of the unscientific things in the world. You can imagine snake-bit people saying, "I'm not going to look at a snake on a pole. That's just silly. How's that going to help? I'm no sucker. I'll just stay here and die with my injuries and my dignity. Thank you very much." Me, if I'm dying, I'll look at a snake on a pole. I'd probably do just about anything, no matter how far-fetched it might seem. You too? The logic of the bronze serpent on the pole only becomes apparent in the light of Jesus' teaching. Looking at the bronze serpent on the pole was an act of faith. God provided the healing, faith received it. The snake-bit people could not have saved themselves. If putting a bronze serpent on a pole and looking at it for a cure had been their idea, nothing would have come of it. It would not have worked. The amazing snake wasn't magic. Faith in something we create has no power. You might as well pray to your lucky rabbit's foot. True power only comes from God. Some people talk about having faith in faith itself, but that's really no faith at all. Faith takes an object. God calls us to faith in his saving work. He provides the healing, and we are healed when we trust and believe. He throws the life preserver, we cling to it. Jesus said that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was referring, of course, to his crucifixion. His grace made manifest on the cross is what makes our salvation possible, and we receive it in faith. Some people may think that Christ paying for our sins on the cross is just ridiculous, unscientific, not modern at all. What if it's not true, we think? What if the Gospels really are just fairy tales? Who wants to be the sucker who trusted in Christ just to find out that he was counterfeit? Not me, we say. The story of Jesus is true. Every piece of physical and historical evidence we have points to the real, literal resurrection of Jesus beyond any doubt. But moreover, we can believe because we know people whose lives were changed by Christ for the better. We know people with living relationships with Jesus today, people whose lives were circling the drain, who got physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy again. If you have been blessed with faith, you know personally and assuredly that Jesus died for your sins and that now he is alive and that he is making a difference in your life. If we know this, we ought to share that good news. If we could call a friend to tell them where to get a $100 bill, shouldn't we call a friend to tell him or her about what Jesus has done for us and could do for him? Something more precious than gold. If we would share a cure for a disease, shouldn't we tell everyone about the cure that we found for the disease called sin, which is 100% fatal? That cure is Jesus Christ. No one should be left uninformed about him. No one. Go tell everyone about God's amazing grace and what he has done for you. And not only tell them, but show them. Show them a life lived in faith and love and faithfulness, a faith looking to the cross of Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.